Okay, ready? Hebrews chapter 7, let's pick back up verse 7 where we left off and try to make it down to 20 tonight.
Chapter 6,
Hebrews 6, verse 7. Let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to meet again. We pray tonight for enlightenment and understanding as we look into your word. We pray that the words might be received with a ready mind, that it might strengthen and encourage us. We thank you for those who are here tonight. We pray that our hearts and minds might be open as we read your word, and that the truth of God might come through and inform us as well as encourage us. We pray for the body universal, that you might meet us at our point of need, according to our needs. And we just thank you for this time we have. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Verse 7, for the earth which drinketh... Well, I will say this before we do this. Just kind of get a summary here. I think this chapter is the most important thing is to see how God works in his word. With this, how it's a rewarder, both negatively and positively, for those who hear it, that there's always a response by the word of God. When it goes out, something always happens. It never does nothing.
But
it never does nothing. And I think in this case, the writer of Hebrews is saying, as this word goes out, he's hoping that it will perfect them if they follow it. If it does not, then he says in verse 7, he says, well, verse 4, we'll just go back a little bit. He says, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the what? The good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And those are words, if you look at those words, they're even educational terms. You know, Paul uses that enlightened in Ephesians. It's when they see the word, when it goes out, that word was manifested to them. They saw it. They tasted it. Well, they experienced the powers of the word of God working in those people. They call it the little flock. He says, if they fall away, if they shall fall away from what?
The faith.
Fall away from the faith. What is the faith? It's the body of truth that had been revealed to them at that time. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And I know we looked at some verses last week about even when John the Baptist began to preach the gospel and he laid out to them two choices: to repent or to hear what he had to say and to go on, or they would be the chaff to be burned up. Right. And it all depended on their response to the word, whether they accepted or rejected. And I don't know if we looked at Isaiah. Did we look at Isaiah? We could look at Isaiah. Isaiah Isaiah chapter 55. don't know if you ever think, well, I just dropped a page. Let me get I'm so ready to talk, Jenny. I just 909 in our book.
761.
We have the same. Yes, we have. We have the same one. 55 verse 10. Yep, 10. We'll say even 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And he uses that watering, sowing principle, and he equates it to his word. When it goes out, it will make a difference. It will accomplish his purpose, whether good or bad. That's why you don't have to be the spiritual policeman. Is you let it go out, and it'll do its own job. Here's a principle where Paul said in Corinthians, one plants, one waters, but
God gives the increase.
God gives the increase. Same principle here. When it goes out, he says, I'll take care of that. Isn't that hard to believe sometimes? Is where you don't have to worry about whether a person believes this or whether they believe that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what we think, does it? We pray for the increase. We look for an increase, but we don't give it. We don't cause it. Right. Back to Hebrews, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The believer, the hearer of the word, is accountable. He's accountable to the word. He's not accountable to the apostle, whoever the Hebrew apostle is. He's not accountable to the apostle. All he is accountable to is the word. In Romans 9, Israel ran into the same problem. When Paul was addressing it, he said, they have not all believed. Okay. I don't want to. Romans 9. I just want to just look at some passages that show you the accountability to the word. Romans 9. Romans 10. What's that?
10:16.
10, start at verse 14.
So Romans 10, not
9. Right, 10, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And Paul's question in Romans 10 is about Israel at his time, at that present time, is how they could be saved. And he says, well, here's where they used to be. In 9, they didn't respond to the word. In 10, he's saying, I really wish that they would respond to the word. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they what? They might be saved. He said, so much so, he said, I would that I was what? A curse from Christ for my brethren. You think he wanted them to be saved? You think he wanted a positive response? You know, when you talk to, I know when you talk to, it's like she might talk to her brother. And she just wants to pump growth into him. Doesn't work that way. When you talk to people and they don't see the way you see, and you know what? You can talk to them and talk to them and try to give the increase and try to get a favorable response. And when you get through, they say, I don't see it. It reminds me of my uncle. They rode from Detroit to Mississippi. When he first saw DePaul's distinctive ministry, and she was from a holiness church. So that's kind of like a Kojic kind of deal, where they rode and he's trying to get her to see.
He had all that time.
Oh, 14-hour drive. Can you imagine it, riding 14 hours and you, and she probably checked out at hour one.
Probably.
So 13 hours. He's just drowning her out. No increase. That's going. They had to come back. Another 14 hours. Don't see it. Don't see it. So all his...
It may have come later.
Well, it did. Yeah. But it didn't come on that trip.
Not when we were expecting it. It's only God's timing.
Right, because he... You can't... You might plant. You might water. You might even plant and water.
Can't force it.
But one thing you cannot do...
Get the answer.
You cannot do it. So... He's speaking to them about how they can be saved, about their response. He says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Very simple. He says, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace that and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then... Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And the responsibility is for God to get it out there. And then it takes care of itself. He said, it answers all the questions. I never heard it. Yes, you did. You never sent anybody. Yes, I did. We didn't know what to believe. Yes, you did. It will leave them without an excuse. And that's what the Word of God does. You can't get away from it. And when he goes back to Hebrews, when the Hebrew writer goes out, he said, they tasted it. The light flooded them. Chapter 6, Hebrews 6. He said, they were enlightened. They tasted it. They were partakers. They tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. They saw what that kingdom could be like. And he gives that example about either they accept the word as nourishment and grow with it, or the end would be cursing and bitterness. You think about, Paul said this about Pharaoh, where the argument was, well, you destroyed Pharaoh. And he did, didn't he? But what they don't, they say this, you hardened, you remember this, Ed? You remember when we were, where he said, you hardened Pharaoh's heart. So you kind of unfair, God. But the way that God hardened Pharaoh's heart was that he just sent his word to him. He just sent his word out to him, and he let Pharaoh respond. He knew before he even sent it. He told Moses, he says, I want to send you to him, but he will not let you go. No, not with a mighty hand. He said, he's going to push my hand before I even send you. How does he know that?
He knows everything. He knows the end from the
beginning. Really? You sure about that? Yeah,
Bob,
but did he make him do it?
No.
He knew he would. So he sent it out one time.
No, 10 times.
Mm-hmm. 10 times. And the scripture would say this: so Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then it would turn around and say, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Like, wait a minute. We talked about it. Look, when he sends it out, it's going to do one or two things. It's going to cause fruit, or it's going to curse. And it does the work. But the response is ours. It's always been ours. It always will be. If your heart is opened by the word, it has to first go out. The response is yours. If it's closed, it has to go out first, and the response is yours. It always is. And when he says that, there's even a point where Pharaoh said this. He said, "Pray for me. Pray that the Lord will remove this." And it said, and when he saw that there was respite, you know what? We had a little breathing room. He went right back.
Right. His heart again.
See, you know.
But isn't that the whole pattern of Israel? That they would, you know, ask for deliverance. Oh, Lord, please. And he would take care of them. And then they'd begin to go along and go right back.
Only this guy wasn't Israel.
No, but I'm saying we see that right. Pattern of the human response.
You know what? We always say that. There's a passage in Matthew that says this, that even in Jesus' day, he said, you will say this. If I had been back there, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And he's right there. And he said, and you're doing that very thing that you said, if I was back there, we wouldn't have done that. That's what we do. You know, it's like, how could they do that? And we do it in 2017. And I remember I told a guy, I said, I, as a believer, I said, I sinned as a believer. On purpose. And
No.
And I planned it, Bob.
You hardened your heart.
And there's not one of us in here that doesn't. You know how I know that?
Because you're a man.
Because everyone has fallen short.
That's right. And grace is what it is. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you out of the way. If it relied on you.
On us.
If it were right. You know what? This is mess up proof. You can't mess this up. You can't mess this up. Here, he said, you can mess this up. They could. Kinda. Hebrews Okay, six. He said, if they fall away, it's cursing, whose end is to be burned. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. He said, even though this is the outcome, that we're hoping that you have a favorable reaction to the word of God. And if you don't, this is what happens. He said, but I have confidence in you, Annette, that you're going to respond positively. You know what? He had confidence in them that they were going to go forward to perfection. You would like that, wouldn't you? If you talk to somebody, you would like a favorable response. Because you think, how could they? How could they not want this?
I kind of like, I think it's the carrot and the stick, because he warns the heck out of them, and then he says, but we know that this isn't, this isn't really you.
Right.
The grace, we do it different. We say, this is you.
I mean, it's when you hold that up, the only thing that would you think that would make a person not embrace grace is they don't quite understand.
Right.
And that's why the enlightenment part is so important. Is you can't make a decision without having the information in front of you.
You mean they don't understand what they're saying? They
may not understand that they're sinners.
Yeah.
They may not understand the provision that has been made. And, you know, this is a deacon, and he didn't really know the difference between sins, and being a sinner. So. When we had that, we talked about that. We had that discussion about transgender people, and I said, "Do you know that he got rid of sin?" And I'll just say this: this is, I'll draw a tree here. Okay, and on that tree, maybe there's fruit. And here you got, here's the ground, right? Where does the tree get the nourishment from? What happens when the tree is nourished? It begins to grow, right? And it produces what? Sins, right? The tree itself would be the sinner, right? So he was occupied with the sins. He's like, oh, there's no way. There's no way that they could be saved. Because he's looking at all those things. And I says, listen, Ray. He got rid of the source. So if this has to produce, right?
Mm-hmm.
To produce the fruit. The reason I know that this is a sinner tree, because it produces what?
Fruit.
But if I get rid of that, what is it producing? If I get rid of that, and put in this righteousness, a new source, what is it now?
Righteous fruit. But it could be a barren righteous tree.
Huh? It could be what?
Be a barren righteous tree.
Okay. So I told him, not only does it get rid of the source, takes care of the source. He takes care of the fruit. He says, I'm not looking at the fruit. He says, when I cut the life off of that, this will die out. Well, I ain't worried about that. And this, he says, if you stop producing that, if it's not associated with the source anymore, I can't call it that anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I told him, I said, Ray, here's your problem. Even if you looked at that, that's temporal. Even if you called it that, wrong label. Because you haven't looked at that.
See what the source is.
You got it. So I said, look, Christ died for sin. No more under sin, right? He said, you're righteous. You're no more a sinner. We're what? He said, now, you can look at those, but you're the only one. He said, you can watch them till they fall off. And you can go to, if a tree, you know what? I got a tree right now. It's dead. It's dying. And every time I go by, I see limbs. They just fall off. And I look around, and there's pecans all around the ground. There's some still on the tree. But I know that the tree is dead. And when those fall off, it won't be producing any more pecans. I can cut it down, couldn't I?
Not this one, because it's got some other kind of...
Not this one, right. Right. So he's saying, okay, now that you got a new source, he says, just like you used to produce that, he said, why don't you produce... Who said that? Yes, we'll say that. Why don't you produce... Or, he said, now you have your fruit.
The difference is, it's almost like the good works have to come from the source. The tree can't produce its own good works, kind of like how we try to produce our own.
That's right. That's the source right there. And we know that it's Christ.
Can I say something about it? I think the problem that us humans have, though, is the time factor. If the old fruit died quickly, and
yes,
the new fruit came in, so the old fruit was gone, and now there's just the new fruit.
Right.
Wow, look, this guy really is a Christian. He acts like one, talks like one, he thinks like one.
Right, and that's where we go back to the Gospels, and you say, you'll know a tree by its fruit, like... Not always. Like, you can say that.
It takes a while.
But you keep looking. You keep looking if you want to.
But you can't necessarily look at that tree and know the source.
Because, right.
You don't know what stage it's in.
Because you can't look at the...
He might have gone up and painted the fruit.
But you can't look at... You can't look at fruit all the time because people could do things that, you know what, it looks like that source, but it's not necessarily so. And you can have your life in that source, but like you said, you're waiting for it to fall off and it's still up there.
Those cons are hanging on.
They're hanging on. You know, it's like, anyway. You can't walk, especially in this day of grace, you can't walk by sight.
And
you can't watch people and try to label them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then my mom's always just like, oh, this person does this, and this person does that, and this person has my foot across with the emblem of Jesus that I've never seen before. This person's awesome because they wore that cross. And I'm like... James 2:9, like, if you're a respecter of persons, that's a sin. So it's like, don't look at the outside, look at the inward man and the fruits that result from the inward man, not the outward man that's fleshy and corrupt. You can have a nice veneer on it.
You even that. What you can't see is this. Not one of you, one of us in here. That's why we talked about the Word of God. That's one thing he said in Hebrews 4. He says, it's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a discerner. He, all things are open before him with whom we have with before him with whom we have to do. Before him. Listen, he said the word, and then he said him. Do you see how he personified that? Mm-hmm. He is the word. Mm-hmm. So if he says, listen, he says, I know what I did in you. I know what I when you make that transaction, you know who knows? Who?
The Lord does.
I don't know that. We can sit right next to each other and you can hear a message. I don't know what's going on in there. And you can make that transaction right there. You don't have to tell a soul. And you know what? You may not see results for months, weeks, years, even. Did it happen?
We can't
read it. Yeah. Look, there's a lady. She said, you know what? I'm through with Grace. She said, I'm going to take up Buddhism. She did. And today, you know what? She's a Buddhist. She's a practicing Buddhist. You know what? When she hits the judgment seat, not the great white throne, when she hits the judgment seat. Did you get that?
Yeah, she's still saved.
She's still saved. You can slap any label you want to, but this is a irreversible, irrevocable transaction.
Mm-hmm. Not many rewards.
He said, when you believe, he said, you what?
Sealed.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be saved anymore.
Right.
You say, sorry. Go ahead.
The verses in Colossians 5 and 6.
Not in Colossians 5 and 6. There's only four chapters.
1 verses 5.
Oh, I thought you said 4. 1. Okay.
For the hope which is ready for you in heaven, where have you heard before, and the word is the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you, and I will bring it forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard it.
Mm-hmm. That's you know what? Since you read that, we're gonna keep going. And when you say something that's here. It says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now I'll say this before we finish those verses up. The progression of Scripture is designed to perfect you, to mature you. So when you get to Colossians, you know that
you should be off the bottle,
right? He's not just talking about you getting saved now. So he uses different terminology where he says, you know, I see some growth in you. I see some commitment in you. I see some service in you. I see some sincerity in you. And he says, verse 9, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How do you get that? Do you pray about it? Huh? What's that?
In the word.
Now, he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? In the knowledge of God. He said, you know what? The longer you go, he says, one thing that does not stop.
The growth process.
The growth process. One thing that does not stop is the knowledge. Because your enlightenment is always connected with your magnification. I couldn't think of an E word. Your enlightenment, you have to increase in knowledge. Where I'll say this. In Ephesians, he said this. He says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, that you might redeem the time. Where he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, and he goes on to talk about what that looks like, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was talking to somebody, we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyway. I was saying this, it's not like you're not going to get any more of the Holy Spirit than you have now. Mm-hmm. When he says be filled with the Holy Spirit, I just remember what it was. How could I forget that? It's not like he steps in, like the guy said. He steps in and takes over you. He's already in there. And you got all of him that you're going to get. It's that he hasn't got all of you that he wants to get.
Which is why you can greet him.
Which
is opposed to in the Old Testament, it was like, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Because they can lose it. Seal. Yeah.
He's in there. The seal is it's ownership. It's security. Purpose. You're like, you know, if you get a certified letter, somebody say, you're going to make sure you get this message from me. You can't say, I don't know who sent that. Well, you did, because you sent it back to me. That's you know, it was the guy, we'll get back here in a second, one of the guys at the plant, he does this all the time. If it's something really important, he'll copy everybody. And you know, he's copying managers, and I think they don't want to see this. And more importantly, I don't want them to see that. Because they're going to like, hey, you need to take care of that guy. So, but he copies all these people, and he clicks on the read receipt all the time. Because hey, you read that at 7:15.
Well, I wasn't handled.
No, you just clicked on it.
You know what? It doesn't. When you click it, I don't. Even if you did it by accident, you know what he says? I got him right there. You read it. Hour later, hey. Then he's firing off. It's been 2 hours. I haven't heard from him.
What's his title? Yeah. Paying a manager, like, ugh.
Well, you know what? When I see those, I flag them immediately. And I put a reminder on it. And I put a red flag on it. I wanted to, like, that guy I need to take care of right now. But anyway, I was saying that because of the seal. It's his guarantee that you got the message. What the Lord said, I'm sealing you with the Holy Spirit, is it's your guarantee that you get my message. That Jeanette, he's like, I really do want you. So much so, I'm going to leave something with you. It's a pickup slip. And matter of fact, it's not really a pickup slip. It's like a pickup pouch. I'm going to put you in here. I'll be back for you, right? And it's a seal tight. Well, you can't get out if you wanted to. You know, it's like the Holy Ghost comes and goes. Nah. When you walk into the building, it's like, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place.
Oh, gosh.
Really? Really? I was like my uncle. He would.
Church.
What's that?
I would hope so if you're in church.
I heard today it's either Richard Jordan or Noah. I think it was Richard Jordan saying.
Come at you, people that will say, "Oh, the Holy Ghost in this place, whatever." He said, "The Holy Spirit does not work without the Word of God, and the Word of God does not work without the Holy Spirit." That's how he does it. Yeah. So, back to the Hebrews. Back to Colossians. We were still there. I'm going to finish that up because we take a pit stop there. One. He says that you might walk, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What do you think that is? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power.
Resurrection?
Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the what? You know what? He's taking care of everything that's wrong with us. Not that was wrong with us, although he did. He took care of what was wrong with us. Not that is wrong with us, well, although he did, took care of everything that is wrong with us, and everything that will be wrong with us. Like you wake up tomorrow, you're still the same Jeanette. There's going to be something wrong with you tomorrow. Do you know that? You do know that, right? When you wake up tomorrow, you have some issues with you.
Oh, yes.
And me too. I don't have a lot of issues. Not like the rest of you. Right. You know what? When a guy says that, I don't have any issues, guess what? He got a lot of issues. So, but Hebrews, back 6, where he shows the responsibility that the word has, where if they hear it, the choice, it comes up, and the word will take care of that. Verse 9, he says, "But beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." He said, it might sound like I don't really believe in you, but I'm pretty sure you're going to do the right thing. You know what Paul would say to the Romans? He said something like this. He says, "I know that you are able to admonish one another." He said, "But nevertheless, because of the boldness that's given unto me," he said, "I'm going to put you into remembrance of some things." So he's like, you know what? I'm just reminding you that although I know you're going to you can do this, and you're going to do it. He said, I just want to encourage you to keep going. He says, for God is not unrighteous to, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In verse 10, he says that he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. One thing about you'll never get to God and say, you know what? You shorted me. You shortchanged me. You never get to him and you say, I put in all that work, and I feel like you cheated me. So you'll never get there and say, you know,
you just be happy you're there.
I think you owe me. That doesn't even sound right, does it?
No.
You'll never get there and say, well, there was a guy in the Gospels that said that. He says, I hired this guy for the whole day, but I hired this guy at the 11th hour. And when they all went, got in, he said,
they all got a denarius.
What's that?
They all got a denarius.
You paid them all the same.
And he said, wait a minute.
We worked all day. And a hot sun.
How can you give him the same that you gave me?
It's your eye evil.
And he said, so what? Did you agree to work for a day? Didn't do a day's work. So what if I give this guy at the last hour the same?
Not mine.
But you won't call him unrighteous. Because you know what? He doesn't owe it to you. There's a verse in, I think it's in Luke, who said this. When a servant, when he gets done, when he comes in from the field, he doesn't come in and say, I'm paraphrasing this, he doesn't come in and get his stuff together and get his dinner and get his bed ready. He comes in and he asks his master, what do you want? What do you want to eat? What do you need? And then when he's finished, you know what he says?
Which he?
The servant. He says, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've just done what I'm supposed to do. And then he gets his stuff together.
Let me. Because he made us and then he redeemed us.
Right.
The only thing we've ever done is mess up.
That's what he said. When it's all said and done, you say, you know what, I'm an unprofitable servant. And then you go get your dinner. After you wait on me. But how righteous he is, where he can say today, you can if you want. You can if you want. Serve. Mm-hmm. If you want to.
Or you can go have your dinner first.
Or you can have your dinner first. He said, if you suffer with me,
right.
If you deny me,
right.
He said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You say, what? He said, Bob, he said, you can serve me if you want to. You're liberated. He said, but if you do, I guarantee you, I'll pay you off. I'll pay you right. And if you don't believe, I'll pay you right. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, you still in?
I was having an epiphany.
But he said, he's not unrighteous to forget your work of and labor of love. Now, this is what I like. He says, in that you have ministered what?
To the saints.
And do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye may not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know what's good about local assemblies? Is that you're followers of them. You can do a lot of things on your own. But one pastor, he's always said this. He always says, if you stick with the bunch, you won't get peeled. And I know it is. You're a lot likely to fall off if you're just drifting out there as an island. If you're just out there by yourself, you're more likely to fall away than if you had some encouragement,
sure.
Some exhortation. If you had somebody to exhort you, it's a lot easier to say, you know what? Are you going Wednesday? I went last Wednesday. Like, come on, Bob. Okay, let's go. Did y'all have that conversation? So, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And he's using this example about Abraham, who, you know what, there is no way that I'm going to even try that.
But it was like,
there's a lot in those last few verses. And I did it. I thought I would get to 20. So
I kind of had you do the
And we know you're going
to
go back on some of these verses next week.
So, but we'll sprint through 7. How's that? So we'll stop there. We'll pick up at verse 13. That's a good place to pick up. We'll pick up at 13. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we spent around your word. We pray that, as always, that you would get the glory out of our being here. We pray that the word was not hindered by anything that we could say, we would say, or did say, or do here. And one thing we did learn, that your word always accomplishes the purpose whereunto you send it out. We believe that. We embrace that. And we thank you that the power rests in your word. And we pray that we would give ourselves to the word, to study and to believe it. We thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.